for leading us once again in praise and worship this morning and exalting the Lord and leading us to the cross together. We welcome you all and look forward to this opportunity to gather around the Word of God together. I invite you to open a Bible, if you have one, to the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you find the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, make your way back. Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. On this Family Sunday, as we would come to celebrate communion together, the Lord's Supper together, just share a few communion reminders as we prepare to celebrate together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll be looking at verses 17 through 34 this morning. So my extended family growing up, I have found was very unique in the way that everyone so deeply loved and genuinely enjoyed being together, and the way we loved one another. Certainly my family wasn't and is not perfect, but it was a deeply loving, deeply affectionate, love-showing family. So much so that when it was time to leave, or when you were preparing to leave, you would need to factor in 30 to 40 minutes. No exaggeration, 30 to 40 minutes, because you would go around to every single person and basically have another family time as you said goodbye. And there would be hugs, and some people were hugs and kissers on cheeks. It was just every single person needed to be greeted. And then when you left, and everybody usually, if it was nice, came out and saw you to your car. It was like a 30 to 40 minute love see you, and we can't wait to see you again experience. And as I grew up, I began to realize that what I experienced and what I knew as family, extended family, that that wasn't what everybody experienced. As I got into high school, as I got into college, I began to understand that my family was oftentimes more the exception than the rule. That a lot of families didn't get along like that. Made me really value and be grateful for what I had in my family. The church, too, is a family, you know. One of the ways that the Lord talks about the church is the family of God. And recognizing that some families are kind of like my extended family was, really, really loving. Others, maybe not as much. Churches, because we all have issues, churches have issues, and so we all want to just continue to grow in that. One of the churches that had some issues was the church in Corinth, a major city that many people had come to Christ, but were still figuring out what it looked like to be followers of Jesus. And so Paul wrote the letters of 1 and 2 Corinthians to the church in Corinth to help them understand this is not what family looks like. This is not what the church looks like. You're doing these things well, but we need to work on some things. And one of the things that he needed to work on was the way they practice communion or the Lord's Supper. And so if you would follow along with me, and I would ask, if you are able, and I know we're tired and all of that good stuff, but to honor the Word of God and to keep us all engaged on this, would you be willing to stand with me as we would read the Word of God out loud together to honor His Word together? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. This is what Paul wrote. He said, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval." And here's the issue that he writes about now. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper or communion that you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. And in the midst of this, he reminds them what communion's all about. "For I received from the Lord," verse 23, "what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment." May the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his written word, and you may take your seats. You may be seated. Thank you so much. So in the midst of all the issues that were at play in Corinth, communion here is at the center. And the specific issue that's in this passage is the issue that they were not thinking of one another. They were not valuing one another. They were putting themselves ahead of everyone else. And so Paul does this amazing thing. He reminds them, this is what communion is all about, what the Lord's Supper is all about. And if you can remember what it's about, it will affect the way you're going to celebrate this together. So on this Family Sunday, may these few communion reminders affect our individual families and our larger church family as a whole. Three reminders. There's sermon notes in your bulletin. There's also in the packets or in the bins for the children to follow along as well. The first reminder is this. Communion, now you got two of them. Communion, now you got one of them. None of them. Communion reminds us of Jesus' great value. Communion reminds us of Jesus' great value. Paul reminds them in verses 23 to 26 what he received from the Lord. The Lord spoke this to him, reminding him, teaching him, and he reminded them, he taught them what communion was all about. And so it's a reminder for us this morning what communion is all about. Communion is all about Jesus. Communion is all about Jesus. If you want to boil it all down, communion is all about Jesus and the tremendous value that he has. See, Jesus is the perfect, sinless Son of God who humbled himself, becoming man, who left the glories of heaven and took on flesh. He is, we sang this morning, God in flesh. How deep the Father's love for us, amazing grace that he would come, he would take on flesh for us. On the cross, we are reminded that his body was broken for us. His body was nailed to a cross after being beaten beyond recognition. And as he hung on the cross, the Father laid upon his body all of our sin. Imagine never knowing the presence of sin in your life and having it laid upon you. Imagine having perfect union and fellowship with someone. No hiding, no shame, no isolation. And in that moment where Jesus had the sin of the world laid upon him, his Father forsakes him because he cannot look upon his Son with the sin of the world on him. And that moment of all eternity having known God and having relationship was being broken as sin was laid upon him. All of our sicknesses, all our disease, all our shame was placed on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took it all upon himself. And his blood was poured out for us to wash away and to cleanse our sin. Jesus says that whenever you drink the cup, this is the new covenant in my blood. It's the old covenant versus the new covenant. And the old covenant, bulls and goats would have to be annually sacrificed. Whenever you would sin, you would come and bring sin offerings to the Lord as a reminder and as a way to be able to pay for the sin that you have committed. But in the book of Hebrews, it's very clear that the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. It's just a reminder of our need for the God who is sending one, who will take away the sins of the world. And Jesus, as we sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He is the one, the perfect sacrifice, who knew no sin, who never sinned, who never disobeyed, who was always perfect, who went to the cross, and there his blood poured out, the perfect Lamb of God. His sacrifice once for all time washes away the sin of all those who come and who place their trust, their faith in him. It's amazing. Communion is this amazing reminder of the extreme worth and the extreme value of Jesus. You know, Jesus is the all-valuable one. He's the all-worthy one. And his work on the cross that pays for our sin demonstrates and proves that he has immense value, that his work is extremely valuable. None of us could ever measure up to gain God's forgiveness, but Jesus, in his perfect life, in his perfect sacrifice, Jesus counts. His life counts for us. He is the worthy one. He is valuable. He proves it. You know, when I was younger, I collected sports cards, football and tons of baseball cards. And one of my greatest, probably my greatest card, is this Jerry Rice rookie card. Now, Jerry Rice, if you don't know, and I believe he was on Dancing with the Stars, is that right? Any Dancing with the Stars fans here? All right. Was he on there? Yeah. All right. Jerry Rice was on Dancing with the Stars. So you don't know Jerry Rice, the football player. You may know Jerry Rice, the dancer. But Jerry Rice is hands down the greatest football receiver. Quarterbacks throw to receivers. He's the greatest receiver in the history of professional football. Listen how great he was. He has 1,549 receptions or catches, which is 117 more than the second place, which for all of you Pitt fans is Larry Fitzgerald. Okay, just a little tidbit there. He is the leader in reception yards, 22,895 yards. He has 5,403 more yards than the second. He had receptions more than a mile more than the second place finisher. That's crazy. He has 197 touchdowns in his career, which is 41 more than the person in second place. There's no one who comes close to Jerry Rice. He is the greatest NFL receiver ever, and arguably one of the greatest football players in general ever. What is interesting is this rookie card somebody bought it recently for $29,520. Now, everyone's like, I'm going to figure out a way to get that thing. Now, there's different levels, and that one was in absolute perfect condition. And, you know, it'll go down, you know, if your card's kind of pretty beat up, you still can get $50 for it, which is pretty good. Mine, I've never had this looked at by a professional. I can tell you it's not perfect, but it's not $29,520 or whatever it was, but it is probably somewhere, if just my evaluation, probably in the $300 to $500 range. So I'm going to guard this with my life. But what makes this card worth, in perfect condition, let's say it's perfect, what would make this worth $29,520? Is it the paper? Is it how good the photographer took his picture? No. It's the value of the performance of Jerry Rice that makes this card worth someone paying $29,520. It's the value of the performance. Friends, this is one of the many reasons why Jesus is so valuable. His performance is beyond value. He is worthy, and he proves his worth and he proves his value by his perfect work on the cross as the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world. He is valuable because of his value that he showed at the cross, his performance at the cross. He would be valuable no matter what, but he proves his value at the cross. Communion reminds us of Jesus' great value. Communion also reminds us of our value, which is settled in Jesus. Reminds us of our value was settled in Jesus. See, the Corinthians, verse 19 tells us there were some who had God's approval and some who didn't. The ones who had God's approval were the ones who were living faithfully to him. But there's this other group that were trying to earn the approval of God. And they weren't thinking of others. They were thinking of themselves. So they would go and they would have the meal on their own. They would eat on their own. They would just allow others to go hungry while they were feasting. And Paul is saying, this isn't communion. You are lifting up yourself and you're not thinking of others. You know, from the playground at school to the nursing home and everywhere in between, the human condition speaks to us that we have to prove our value. And often the way we do that is we puff ourselves up and put others down. We degrade others, we elevate ourselves, we think of ourselves, we promote ourselves, we care for ourselves above all, neglecting and even at times degrading others intentionally. Why? Because we are trying to elevate and show value and prove value on our own. Paul additionally goes on in verses 27 through 30 and says that one of the reasons that they were doing this is they hadn't taken time to evaluate their own lives. They hadn't taken time before God to say, am I caring for others or am I caring only for myself? Am I lifting myself up to the exclusion of others? It's interesting that Paul sandwiches right in the middle of these things this idea of Jesus as the one of ultimate value. See, here's what I want us to hear this morning. That the issue of our value, I've said this before, the issue of our value has been settled at the cross of Jesus Christ because the Father and the Lord Jesus has said, you are worthy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being shed for you. If that doesn't give value to our lives, nothing in this world ever will. If the Father and Jesus went to the cross to carry out the will of the Father, giving his life for us, if that doesn't speak value, nothing in this world will. And so the more we understand the value that Jesus gives to us, the more we're able to step back and just say, Lord, I receive that value. So let's say this Jerry Rice card is worth $29,520. I could go find somebody who wants to pay $29,520 and receive that whole value. Did I do anything for this other than buy a pack of cards when I was a little kid that had stale bubble gum in it? I didn't do a thing. You see, the reason I have a card of that value is because of Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice gives all that financial, that money value to me. I didn't do anything. Jerry Rice did all the work by being the greatest receiver in history. I just have a card with a picture on it. And I receive all the value because I have it. Friends, this is what Jesus does. We don't have to do anything to get the value of Jesus. We can't do it. We simply say, Jesus, I welcome you and I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. And he gives us his value. Because we belong to him, we have his value. Is that incredible? The immense value of Jesus, he shares with us. And he places it on us. Because of what he has done, not because of what we can produce. His value given to us. This is what's so powerful when we understand communion. We understand my value is not in myself or what I do. My value is because of Jesus. And so when we go about our lives, when we're playing at the playground, and all the other kids are trying to elevate themselves and get their way and put others down, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, and he lives in your heart, you don't have to lift yourself up, because Jesus has already done that. And the more we understand who Jesus says we are, the more we can do this last reminder. The communion reminds us to value others like Jesus did. Communion reminds us to value others like Jesus did, because the value of Jesus is not limited to me or to you alone. In the family of God, everyone who has trusted Jesus has the exact same value. Hear that. Everyone who has trusted Jesus has the exact same value. Every person has value in that we're created in the image and the likeness of God, but when we're in the family of God, we have the value of Jesus on our life. So in your families, if, as a family, you have believed Jesus and we've received him, his forgiveness over your life, then Jesus values your spouse. Jesus values your children. Jesus values your grandchildren. Jesus values your brother or your sister the same as Jesus values you. He went to the cross for them. And in our church family, Jesus values the children of the church. In our church family, Jesus values the youth of our church and the young adults and the singles, and the married without children, and the married with children, and the empty nesters, and the grandparents, and the widowed, and the elderly, and everyone else that I didn't mention, just the same as you. Because he went to the cross for everyone in the church family together. It's as if everyone has a Jerry Rice card. Now, this is where things break down in my little object lesson here. Because if everybody had a Jerry Rice card, this wouldn't be worth anything. One of the reasons this is so valuable is because there's not many of them. But that's where Jesus goes way beyond a Jerry Rice rookie card. Because Jesus' value given to everyone, it never diminishes. And there's more than enough value that he gives to us to go around. We'll never diminish the value of Jesus. There's enough for you and you and you and you and you and you. And it never diminishes. Everyone who trusts in Jesus, who calls on the name of the Lord and has been saved, carries the same exact value because it's the value of Jesus on our lives. The one with all value gives it to those who are his. That's good news, isn't it? Which means this, when we are gathering together, when we are living in our families, in our homes, when we are gathering as a church family, it changes the way we interact with each other. It changes the way we don't have anything to gain, so I have no reason to lift myself up ahead of you or you to me, because we already have the greatest value. It's been given to us by Jesus, which frees us to be able to humble ourselves and serve one another and say, you go first. You go first. It's all right. I'm going to get mine. It's okay. You go first. In our families, when there's all the food around the table, you don't have to be like, that's all mine. Why? Because there's enough. We're all valued. We're all valued. We don't have to put ourselves out there ahead of others to get mine. We could say, oh, you go first. I'm going to trust that as we do this as a family, we're going to be okay. In our church, in our families around the tables, and in our lives as we interact, and in our church family as a whole. Do you see how this changes when we understand Jesus' great value and how it's given to us and given to us all? It changes the way we interact one with another, individual families and as a church family. It changes it. And so this is why Paul, in the midst of them not caring for each other and putting each other first, and I'm going to eat and I'm going to eat and others are going hungry around, why Paul says, hey, let's get back to remembering what communion's all about. It's about Jesus. And if we can get things right with Jesus and understand who we are in Jesus, it's going to help us to be able to treat each other well in Jesus. So as we prepare to take communion together, I would just want to give us a few moments to just process a few things before, just in personal prayer. And so I'm just going to walk us through this. It's going to take 2-3 minutes of prayer. You can just spend this time personally with Jesus. I'll just pray for us, and then I'll walk you through, and you can just have some own personal time with Jesus together. So Jesus, we do thank you. You're the most valuable one. Your performance on the cross just shows how worthy you are. You are already worthy. You just showed it. Thank you. We honor you. We praise you. We love you. We're grateful for you. Thank you for giving us the value. Thank you for the way it helps us to see others with that same value. And so just in a moment of personal prayer, would you, just in your own words maybe, praise Jesus for his great value. Express it to him. Tell him how valuable he is. Praise him for it. And as you continue to pray, would you, because of his value, would you thank him for the value that he's given to you? And for a few more moments in prayer, the Holy Spirit can speak from to the youngest of us to the oldest. Would you ask the Holy Spirit if there are ways that you're finding value, how you feel about yourself, in something other than him? He can show you. He will. And if he does, just tell him, I'm sorry for that, and I want my value to be in you. And then just ask one more thing of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody in your life, whether in your own family or in the church family or even at school or some other place in the community, that you are not valuing a particular person and treating them as Jesus does? If there is, just tell him you're sorry. Ask him to forgive you. And ask him to help you to see them as he does. So Jesus, we honor you, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We continue to give you freedom, even as we celebrate communion together. We give you freedom to continue to speak to us. We love you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say together, amen, amen. So in these next moments, we're going to celebrate communion together. We have these little communion packets. If you haven't already received them, they're in the back. And maybe if you haven't already, you can just slip up your hand. As we celebrate this as family together, we just want to be able to remember, as the Apostle Paul said, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread with his disciples and he broke it. And as he gave it to them, he said, "This is my body that's broken for you." And then after supper, he gave them that cup. They passed it around and they drank it together. And he said, "This cup represents the new covenant, that all your sins are going to be forgiven in me. Everyone who comes to me and entrusts me, turns away from their sin and places their faith in me and what I'm going to do on the cross, will their sins will be washed away. The value of God will be put upon your life. As often as you eat it and drink it, until I come back, I'm going to heaven, until I come back, and we're with each other forever and ever and ever. Every time you do it, remember me until I come back." So as we prepare to do that, I'm going to ask that we do something a little bit different. If you're here with your family, especially Family Sunday, families together, if you're here with family, if you want to just spend time together, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. And if you're part of church family, and maybe you're here by yourself, get somebody else in the church family, and just get in small groups of two or three. You know, if your family is here, hang out together. We're going to take communion as a larger family, but if your family specifically is here, we're going to do it in that group as well. And as we do it, I'm going to ask that we do something real simple, and that is to the person on your right. So if you have like three or four people, everybody go to the person on your right, or if there's two people, just back and forth. Would you just speak life to them and tell them something very simple? You can use this phrase: I see the value of Jesus this way in your life. Maybe it's the way that you laugh. Maybe it's the way that you share. Maybe it's the way that you encourage others. Something that you see in their life. We have so much time where we say negative things about, and we're always hearing negative things. Can we speak encouragement to each other? I see the value of Jesus in your life this way. And it can be something so simple. The way you love. The way you care. Doesn't have to be anything huge. So if you would take just a few moments and break into some small groups to do that. If your family's here, do that. If not, larger church family, gather together and do that for a few moments. I'll then lead us through taking communion together, and we'll sing one more song of praise and celebration to Jesus. All right? So go take a few minutes to do that. I love hearing everybody. Don't hear what you're saying, but I hear you chatting. Take a few more minutes if you haven't wrapped up to speak life over each other. Let's go ahead and remember and celebrate Jesus together as families and as church family together. Let's celebrate the one who is worthy, who has all value, who deserves all praise and glory and honor. Let's celebrate and remember what he has done for us. So remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And he reminded his disciples every time that they would do it, when they ate bread together, that they would remember that this represents the body of Jesus, upon which our sin and our shame and our guilt and our sickness and disease was placed upon him, and where he willingly offered his body as a sacrifice for our sin. In celebration and remembrance of Jesus, let us eat the bread together. Lord Jesus, we celebrate and we worship and we glorify you, the one who has given your body for us. Thank you. And peel that second layer away and remember that as Jesus, after supper, took that cup and he gave it to his disciples and he reminded them, whenever you eat the bread or you drink now the cup, you declare that this cup is the new covenant in Jesus' blood, that his blood paid the price for the washing away, the cleansing of our sin, the forgiveness of our sin, to be made right with God in relationship now and forever. His value demonstrated in his perfect blood shed once for all for the forgiveness of our sin. Let us celebrate and let us drink together. Jesus, we celebrate you. We thank you for your perfect blood shed for us. Until you come, Lord Jesus. And as we are reminded and commanded to say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Until the day that you come, keep us ever mindful and ever reminded of your love for us, the value that you have and your work on the cross. We honor, we glorify, we celebrate you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen. Amen. You know, I went to a football game on Friday night, and there was lots of cheering when people did things well. And I think more than anybody that deserves cheer and praise is Jesus for his work. Can we just declare his worth and his glory and his wonder this morning together? All right, and as we sing this last song together, we're going to celebrate. You'll see in the song, we celebrate the value of Jesus. In this song, there's also, we celebrate the value of him, of who he has made us to be, our value in him. And then we're going to change it up a little bit. Leo will give you a direction at the end, but we're going to make it also corporate at the end, that it's not just me that has the value of Jesus. It's been given to us as his people together. So let's declare these things together and let's glorify him. Let's stand and celebrate the Lord one more time.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Love for me, oh, his love for me, who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, always free.